Good morning. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. President and Mrs. Reagan will attend today's memorial service at the Mayport Naval Base in Florida for victims of last Sunday's Iraqi missile attack on the USS Stark. Peter Van Sant is there.
It has been a week of anguish and anger for the families and friends of the 37 men killed and 21 wounded aboard the USS Stark.
They want to know why. All of us do. I mean, we know it won't bring him back, but why?
Later this morning, family members of those killed will gather to share their grief at the Stark's home port. Counselors who have been with the families this week hope this morning's service will provide some comfort.
We know that what we're doing isn't going to take away their pain one little bit, but we really hope that somehow they can look beyond the pain and see all the people that truly care about them. And that somehow maybe it'll make a difference.
Navy officials say there has been an outpouring of sympathy and aid for the families coming from around the country. As one chaplain said, today's service will deal with the grief of a nation, as well as the families. Peter Van Sant, CBS News, Mayport Naval Station, Florida.
This is Terrence Smith at the White House. President Reagan flies to Florida this morning to fulfill a painful role that has become all too familiar in his presidency, consoler to the nation at times of tragedy. He's expected to speak briefly during the ceremony and then personally greet each of the families that have been flown to Florida by the Navy. Beyond sharing the grief of the families, Mr. Reagan has restated and reinforced his commitment to sustaining an American military presence in the Gulf. Terrence Smith, CBS News, the White House.
Assistant Secretary of State Richard Murphy, who went to Baghdad on a fence-mending mission days before the Stark attack, yesterday warned Congress an Iranian oil blockade in the Persian Gulf would bring economic disaster.
If it is successful, it would lead to actual or psychological interruption, causing a major surge in oil prices, global inflation and recession, including in the United States.
But wary of another Beirut-style military commitment, high on symbolism and low on security, the Senate voted 91-5 yesterday to block U.S. naval escorts for Kuwaiti tankers until the administration provides a full report on how U.S. forces will protect themselves. At the Pentagon, David Martin's been gathering details on the pending U.S. buildup.
Sometime next week, the Reagan administration is expected to make a final decision on providing air cover for U.S. Navy ships escorting Kuwaiti oil tankers through the Persian Gulf. Planes from the aircraft carrier Constellation could begin flying air cover as early as next month in what would be a significant increase in the U.S. military presence in the Gulf. The Reagan administration is also considering an increase in the number and type of U.S. Navy ships patrolling the Gulf, up to and including the state-of-the-art Aegis-class cruiser. Administration officials stressed that the air cover would be needed only when one of the dozen or so Kuwaiti tankers the U.S. will protect is transiting the Gulf. Although Iran has launched frequent attacks on Kuwaiti ships, U.S. officials point out that those attacks have not been against oil tankers, but against container ships believed to be carrying cargo bound for Iraq. Besides, U.S. officials say, Iran is too preoccupied with its war against Iraq to go picking a fight with the U.S. David Martin, CBS News, The Pentagon.
This is Doug Tunnell in Baghdad. The prospect of an increased American military presence in the Persian Gulf is not likely to be welcomed by Iraqi officials, no matter how cordial relations between Iraq and the United States are these days. Hours after an Iraqi pilot attacked the USS Stark, Foreign Minister Tariq Aziz outlined Iraq's opposition to any superpower buildup in the region. The Gulf is getting to be a very crowded place, Aziz said, and we have warned that the more crowded it becomes, the more likely it becomes that accidents will happen. The Iraqi military wants unrestricted access to the airspace and waters of the Gulf in order to pursue its economic war against Iran's oil industry. Meanwhile, American diplomats have been in touch with Iraqi military officials here over their version of the attack on the Stark in the last 24 hours. An American team of investigators reportedly coming to Baghdad in the next few days is expected to request an interview with the pilot of the attacking plane. Doug Tunnell, CBS News, Baghdad.
Two U.S. technicians with the Middle East Task Force claimed the Stark's Phalanx gun system, which might have shot down the Exocet, was out of commission for lack of spare parts. Navy officials have said all systems were working. David Kimke, former Director General of Israel's Foreign Ministry, has been ordered not to talk to the Iran-Contra grand jury that summoned him to Washington. Richard Roth reports from Tel Aviv.
Israeli officials here were described as surprised and furious at the decision to subpoena Kimke, who was one of at least four Israelis acting as intermediaries in the arms sales and shipments to Iran in 1985 and 86. Officials are quoted as saying Kim Ki would appear before the U.S. grand jury if he had to avoid contempt charges, but would refuse to testify on the grounds that doing so would violate an order of the Israeli government and might reveal state secrets. What angers government officials here is that Israel has publicly said it's willing to cooperate with U.S. investigators on a government-to-government basis and has already submitted to the U.S. a detailed chronology of Israel's involvement in the arms affair. Richard Roth, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
Before taking a five-day break, the House and Senate Iran-Contra committees heard testimony from a Contra contributor that raised new questions about Reagan policy in Central America.
William O'Boyle said that Oliver North had told him of a secret plan to topple the Nicaraguan government, which involved a U.S. naval blockade. The White House had no comment on the report. The committee also heard yesterday from former General John Singlob, who was openly raising money and selling arms to the Contras while North was involved in the secret supply operation. Singlob said his prices were about half what Richard Secord charged, and he said the Contras could really have used the millions that remain in Secord's Swiss bank accounts. Committee members now say they may recall Secord to question his story that he wasn't making a profit on the deal. And when the hearings resume next week, investigators say Secord will be discredited further by his business partner, Albert Hakim. Deborah Potter, CBS News on Capitol Hill.
In case you didn't notice, some things cost more in April, business correspondent Ray Brady reports.
The cost of living rose last month for the third straight month. The Labor Department reporting consumer prices up 0.4%. Much of the increase came from a sharp jump in the cost of clothing. Women's and girls' spring and summer apparel went up more than 3%, a big increase. There was also a markup in tickets to sporting events. If prices keep rising at this pace, Americans' cost of living will rise 5.5% this year. In a separate report, the government said the economy grew at an annual rate of 4.4% in the first quarter of this year. But other government figures, also out today, show new orders for durable goods last month up by a weak 0.1%. Ray Brady, CBS News, New York.
The dollar is generally lower. Gold prices in London are $4 higher. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrial Average is up 17.5 points at 2243.35. Six people, four of them children, died early today in a Chicago apartment fire. The building lacks smoke detectors. And a Columbus, Ohio man today shot and killed his estranged wife and two of their children before killing himself. Two others were wounded. It's 10 minutes past 7.